All right. Good morning. If you want to turn in your Bible, it's just one verse, but it's okay. You can turn, definitely, to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. That's where we're going to spend a little time. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Today and next Sunday, we're going to be talking about marriage. We'll be talking about the differences between men and women today. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for our church family. Lord, we stop for a minute and ask for your help with the folks that are on the back of our bulletin. Lord, we just pray the Murray family. Pray for all the folks out there that are traveling, going up and down the road, visiting family, and being on vacations. Lord, we do lift up those folks in the back of our bulletin. Lord, you provide healing, direction, encouragement, whatever they need, Lord, you know. We don't know, but you know exactly each one. And Father, we just trust that you'll help them. Lord, I ask you to bless our marriage conference. Father, we deep down in our heart, we just want to be able to help marriages. Marriages that will improve or teach us how to improve in our marriages. We can be better parents, better grandparents. Lord, I pray that you'll fill this little conference up with folks that want to improve their marriage and learn and grow. And Father, you know we need volunteers behind the scenes. I'm going to trust you that you'll provide the folks to help while others get help. That's such an important ministry. Lord, as always, bless and help our military and our missionaries that are protecting us and then sharing the good news around the world. Lord, take this Annie Armstrong offering and use it to spread the good news and to help these missionaries who are out there in a battle. Help me this morning. Teach this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, here we go. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Everybody ready? Put your big boy pants on, your big girl pants on this morning now. All right. Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Everybody said amen? Amen. Before we start talking about the differences between men and women, please know, please understand this, that I know there are exceptions to the rule. I know there are unusual circumstances that come up. I'm aware of this. Two examples would be, I know and I've seen this happen in my career as far as counseling and in the ministry. There's been a sweet wife pass away and a young man having to raise two or three girls. And I know that young man would have to go through the process of them little girls painting his fingernails. I mean, man's done that before with girls. Oh, Adam, you raise your hand, you know. Fingernails being painted. How many men have had your little girls, little daughters or granddaughters put makeup on your face? Raise your hand. Well, it's coming for some of you. Get ready, right? When there's no mother there, those fathers sometimes have to step up. Y'all hear me? They have to step up and may do girly things. And then the other side of that coin is if maybe a deadbeat husband leaves his wife and runs off somewhere else, and here is a young lady left to raise two boys, and she may have to get out there in the dirt, push around Tonka trucks, blow up firecrackers, start learning the rules of football and baseball. Amen? That happens. Sometimes it's okay for women to shoot a gun, right, ladies? Sometimes it's okay for men to watch Hallmark movies and get the eyes leak a little bit. Sometimes now, remember, exceptions to the rule. There are those rare occasions when these things happen. Okay? But listen to me carefully. Seriously. There is never, never a time when a man tries to transition into a woman. That's never okay. That's never okay for a woman to make the decision to try to transition into a man. And we all know that's heavily going on these days. This gender mix-up. This is from the devil. It's from the pits of hell. And if I offend you, I apologize again. But I've made an agreement with God that I would try to be tender, try to be loving, but I'm still going to tell the truth according to God's word. Amen? So this morning I'm going to try to give you some basic and some biblical foundational understandings of the difference between men and women. So bear with me. So here's a question. Which is better, men or women? Now, I was really hoping Miss Mary would be here this morning. Because I know it's going to be fun, but we're gonna learn something here, okay? Right? Pete had the right answer. A man is superior at being a man. Set you up, didn't I? The ladies actually, their heads start to turn around. You know, wait, where's he going? But also, a woman is superior at being a woman. Amen. Neither is superior to the other. Okay? Now, contrary to current beliefs, and I'm not going to go into everything that's happening right now. Most of us are up on some crazy current affairs. But we are different. Men and women are different. Amen? In Genesis chapter 2, Adam was going about his business doing what God asked him to do. But Adam had a certain loneliness. Okay? So the Bible says that God makes a woman for Adam, who he called Eve. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." So what was Adam saying here? He was saying that, wow, this is not another animal. This is not another animal. She is like me. Adam liked Eve because she was like him. But I also believe that he liked her because she was not like him. And I also believe this. This is not in the Bible, but I'm going to have the liberty here to say this. I believe that Adam liked Eve because he knew that she was a gift from God. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? When you know, God Almighty, you know, takes a part of your side and gives you this helpmeet, this helper. It was a gift. She was a gift from God. The difference is, all right, listen closely here. The differences between male and female unite us. It unites us. God made us different so that he could make us one. Please listen to this. The differences in male and female unite us. I'm not going to repeat myself, but I want this to get in you. Okay, and the reason for that was because God wanted us to become one. See, the whole gender, whatever they want to call it, is mixing people up. It's confusing them. And who's the author of confusion? Satan is the author of confusion. He's the liar and the father of lies. So these people are getting confused, and they're having an identity crisis that is not godly. It's unholy. I'm telling you, it's actually evil. Now, this is going to be on the internet. I might get some flack from this, but it is. It's wicked and it's evil. All right, so I'm going to attempt for the rest of this message to try to give you some ideas of the gender differences. Okay? And I hope I'm not insulting your intelligence here, but this is what I think God laid on my heart. I'm going to talk in generalities, okay? Again, knowing that there's exceptions to the rule, and I know some women that can outrun me. I understand that, right? I mean, even the Marine Corps now, are they still letting women become infantry? They were thinking about it one time, and I don't think they did that. Yeah, but anyway, rabbit trail. God made Adam stronger than Eve. I said it out loud. Everybody hear that? God made Adam stronger than Eve. Why? Because the job God gave Adam was to tend and keep the garden. Amen. Adam was able also to be strong so that he could become a protector and a provider for Eve. He had the physical frame to protect Eve and to dig, to chop, and to work in the garden. Could Eve dig, chop, and work in the garden? Absolutely, she could. She was perfectly capable of working in the garden. And she probably did. If you were Eve, how many of you ladies would work in the garden? I guarantee you, 80% of you would get out there and work in the garden, have a good time, be therapeutic, grow something, dig around, get your hands dirty. The Bible doesn't say that, but I believe she did. So, what did God make Eve for? The name Eve means life giver. God made her body to nurture, to be gentle, to be soft and cuddly. Now, for some women, that's offensive. I understand. Being more physically fragile than Adam does not mean Eve was inferior to or less valuable than Adam. Right? I mean, silk is more fragile than canvas. And they're both equally valuable, beautiful, and useful. Now, men, listen up. Understand that God did not make you to compete with women, but to protect her, care for her, and provide for her. Women, listen up. God didn't make you to compete with men. but to love him, to support him, to encourage him. And I know this comes across as sexist, right? But this is how God made us. Neither a husband nor a wife is better than the other. We're just different. God made us different. Amen? Men, you are a lot more energetic. Women, you have a lot more durability. Men have actually more red blood corpuscles to deliver energy to cells. And men actually have a bigger lung capacity. Women have better immune systems. And they can cope with pain and stress better. Husbands, listen closely. Do not demand your wife to keep up with you. Don't ever criticize her and call her weak. When men get frustrated, we get agitated, we just want to get in there and fix it. Right, men? What's going on? I just want to get in there and fix it. If I can't fix it, then I'm going to kick something. I'm going to punch something. Come on, man, right? That's how you feel. You might not actually kick something. That's how you feel. Guarantee you most of it here is have kicked something. Guarantee you Frankie's kicked a tractor or something. Or you throw one. When women get frustrated, they get agitated, they just cry. And then they want to talk. Come on, right? They just, you know. That's where Lynn and I, if we get in arguments, it's like something's wrong and I just want to go in there and fix it. Get out of the way. I'm ready to fix it. I don't want it fixed. I just want you to listen to me. Wives, understand. Wives, listen up. You got to understand the drive and energy that your husband has sometimes. It's real important. Men, you've got to realize that sometimes you just got to let her cry. And then you got to let her talk. And you sit there with your trap shut. And you just listen. Amen? I told you Glenn was going to like this. Just listen. Which one's right? Which one's better? Neither. Neither is better. We're just different. God made us different. Amen? The job God gave men is to tend and keep the garden. Don't forget that. That's why men needed this outer shell that was a little bit tougher and rougher around the edges. Women, and I might offend some of you here, but I'm just going to say it, okay? Women's primary responsibility is to be the caregiver, the homemaker, to love, to be soft, be dependent, take care of children. Support the husband. Amen? Now, here's an interesting thing. What do women read? What do women read? Mainly, it's books that deal with relationships. Most of them written by women for women. You pick up a magazine, you know, that's marketed towards women. What are the articles? How do you develop closeness with your husband? How to have harmony in your marriage? How to raise children? How to raise husbands? Anybody here raised your husband? Rose raises her hand. There was a time when I think Lynn raised me. Praise God for her, right? What do men read? Said nothing. Touche. What do men read? Here it is, right? How to remodel your garage. How to double your gas mileage. How to be a champion bass fisherman. That's what we read. Oh, my God. Now, some people try to tell us that these differences are learned behavior. I disagree. I believe that they're encoded within us. They're our DNA. It's how God made men and God made women. God made men to be the hunter and the gatherer, to go out, kill the deer, bring it back home, and give. God intended for us, and the woman was created to receive. It's a cycle. Men, hunt, get deer, bring it back, give it to his wife. She receives it, takes it, prepares it, and then she gives it back to the husband and the kids in form of a nice meal. Right? And then she keeps going back and forth. A man goes out, buys roses, takes it home, gives it to the woman. She receives it. And you might get your back scratched that night. Amen? It's giving, receiving, giving, receiving, giving, receiving. Neither is better. God made us different. Men and women process information differently. I might step on some toes here, but some behavioral scientists believe this, that there are two hemispheres in our brain, left and right. The left hemisphere, this is a little old information, but it's fine. The left hemisphere deals with logic, reasoning, calculation. And this is where men live. Right? The right side of the brain deals with emotions and sympathy and intuition. The female brain uses both sides. Really, that's what scientists tell us. There is a real difference in the way we look at things. And this is the source of many of our arguments. We just see things differently sometimes. Okay? Now, here we go. Ready? Men tend to be more logical and analytical and factual. Okay? A woman can be both of those things, but she's going to add in some feelings and some emotions on top of that. You guys seeing this? Women have a tendency to do spider web thinking. She wants all the details and she can deal with them at one time. Men think in a line. Men think, I see a target. Just get all this out of the way and let's get it done. Right? Men go into anywhere, Walmart or at the mall or a grocery store, and man has a target, right? We're going in to get this and this. And then we get out. Right? Women know they're going to get that, but they go in the store and immediately, they know they're going to get a bag of apples, right? But they see this and they see that. And they register this and they register that. But they know, back in their mind, they know where the apples are and they know where they're going. They're going to get them eventually. But I'm going to check out this sale and that sale. Well, I didn't know they had this. That drives me nuts. I'm not kidding you. I can't hardly deal with it. I would sit out in the car at 100 degrees and wait on her to go into Ulta. Like, I think women, when they die, they go to Ulta first, hang out for a little bit, and then they go into heaven. You know? Oh, we got to understand the differences, though. The left side of the brain is objective and precise. It works like a computer. The right side is subjective and works more like a radar, taking in everything. All right, listen closely now. This is important, especially for you men. Women see things and feel things. Men, come on. Women can walk into a room and get details that men have no idea what's going on. We were at a friend's wedding a couple weeks ago, and after the wedding, we went into this big, giant tent, bigger than this building, and for the wedding reception. So I'm walking in with Lynn, and yep, a little tuxedo on, she's got a nice dress. We're walking in, and all these people, like hundreds of people, and Lynn's going, "Oh, look at there. There's so-and-so. And look at those flowers. Aren't they so pretty? And, oh, I didn't know you were here. Hey, 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 what am I doing? I'm locked in on those shrimp." There's this big, giant table of boiled shrimp. I'm like, "Shrimp, shrimp." And she goes, "Hey, hey, look at there." And I'm like, I actually forgot where I was even at. Anybody relate, man? You know what I'm talking? But Lynn, man, she had the whole area scoped out. It was there. Everything, the pretty flowers, it was crazy. Which is better, the computer or the radar? Neither. Thank God that we're different. God made us different. A woman uses language to express emotions. A man uses language to dish out facts. Men, listen very closely. Women speak in code. Seriously, they speak in code. Don't listen to what she's saying. Listen to what she means. I'm looking at the men. They're like fried. Their brains are fried even right now. Trying to grasp this. Listen to what she means. Here's an example. You see that your wife is upset, intense. You can kind of tell something's not right here. And you say, "Honey, is something wrong?" And she says, nothing. Men, right away, you have to recognize that everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. You did something wrong. Something happened at work. Something's going on. But something is wrong. Listen to what she means. Amen? Here's another one. Men report and women share. Isn't that right? We've had some fun, so I want to get real serious with you here. A woman's deepest need is to be loved, cherished, and prized. A man's greatest need is to be admired and respected. God gave her a nurturing instinct, but God told him to go and tend and keep that garden. And God equipped him mentally, physically. God gave him that outer exterior strength to get it done, to work, to make it happen, to provide for his family, to protect his family. A man wants to be admired by his wife. And when he does, and when she does, she receives a blessing. When he's romantic and patient and loving and tender toward her, the woman is blessed. Women want love, compassion, and security. A man, listen closely, a man gets his joy out of being successful and being the protector and the provider. Which is better? Neither. We're just different. God made us different. Now I'll close with this. There's two great skills for a healthy marriage. There's two. Your foundation and your flexibility. Foundation and flexibility. The foundation is basically this. Your love for God Almighty and your love for each other. The Bible says, love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Who's your closest neighbor? When you're laying in bed at night and you're going to sleep, your closest neighbor is 3, 2 feet, 1 foot away. When you're riding down the road in your car, your truck, your closest neighbor is right there in the seat, the passenger seat. Sitting in church right now, some of you are sitting right next to your closest neighbor. When you're sitting at the dinner table having a nice meal, your closest neighbor is right there. Y'all get it? Love your neighbor. Love your spouse. When you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, as you love yourself, as you love your neighbor, it's easier. That's the way God designed it. Flexibility. It's all about grace. Are you flexible enough to offer grace? To offer forgiveness? To apologize? Are you flexible enough? Or are you hard-headed, bold-headed, full of pride and arrogance? Are you able to offer grace? Hey, honey, I'm sorry. I messed up. I'm such a jerk. I'm sorry I said that. Are you flexible? Are you quick to forgive? Married couples must learn to honor each other and celebrate our differences. Always, always, always remember, we are different. And we must honor our differences. I got two verses for you, and I'm going to close. Ephesians 5:23. And you're all familiar with these. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Men, deal with it. Be responsible. Work hard. Take care of your wife. be responsible. As Christ loved the church, Christ was willing to sacrifice everything. And he did. Sometimes, man, we have to sacrifice and do those things that we don't want to do. Take care of your wife. Amen? Women, if this offends you, you need to get over it. I'll read it again. For a husband is the head of his wife. Does that offend you? You need to get over it. It's pride. That's the way God designed it. I found in my life that when we get into the way God designed things, it works better. He created marriage. He created us. Amen? So if the husband's operating like he should, okay, then that's a good thing. When he laid Adam asleep and took that rib or whatever it was from his side. Men, women, listen. He didn't take the bone out of his foot so that he could be ruler of this house. He did not take the bone out of some little part of his cranium up here. Right? So that the woman could be the head of the house. No, he took it out of the side. I think God really said a big thing right there. Because this woman is our helpmeet, our helper. She comes aside, right? Comes beside us to fulfill us, to make us one. That we work together. Right? It's like a dance. Right? Men, if you're doing the waltz, right? You got to take that first step. I learned that for the wedding. Hey, watch this. Men, as the head of the wife, it's our responsibility, though, to lead. Right? To lead. Take that first step. Ephesians 5:33. Each man must love his wife as he loves himself. We just talked about that. And the wife must respect her husband. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for encouragement. Thank you for direction. Thank you for correction. Thank you that we can laugh. Lord, more than anything, we thank you that you loved us so much that you created your Bible, your word. That we can follow it and have a successful marriage and be the men and women that you've called us to be. Father, during this little song of invitation, if there's someone here this morning that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I just pray that during this song they would come down and I would be glad to pray with them. We can settle it right now. Maybe there's a couple here that might be struggling with their marriage and they like for us to pray for them. I pray that they'll come down and we'll pray. There's no shame. We've all had struggles. We've all had times that were tough and rough. Lord, we give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.